The scripture that we read this morning is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. John 17, commonly known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There ends our reading of God's word this morning. John 17 is one of the passages of Holy Scripture that stand at the basis for the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 52 with regard to the sixth petition. Question and answer 127. Which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Let's pray together. We bow before thee in supplication, Heavenly Father, because we know that we cannot understand thy word, except thou dost enlighten our minds and open our hearts. So we pray for the work of thy Holy Spirit, so that the preaching of thy word may be a power for good among us this morning. Graciously keep us from sin, and look upon us in thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The sixth petition, the last of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, is a petition for holiness. That really is the sum and substance of the petition, as is plain from the Heidelberg Catechism's explanation of it in Lord's Day 52. The sixth petition is the prayer for deliverance from temptation as well as from evil. Temptation is the desire and the endeavor to get us to sin, that is, to fall into unholiness. And our prayer for deliverance from evil is, of course, moral, ethical evil. It is sin, which is unholiness. You may paraphrase the sixth petition like this: lead us into holiness and deliver us from unholiness. That really is the petition. It is in its explanation of the sixth petition that the Heidelberg Catechism makes reference to the three great enemies of the people of God. Mortal enemies, says the Catechism, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. But these are our mortal enemies exactly because these enemies are determined to get us to sin. And having sinned, to go on impenitent in sin. That's the object of the wicked world around us. That's the object of the devil who stands behind that wicked world. And that's the object of our sinful, fallen human natures. For if we sin, go on impenitent in our sin, and die impenitent in sin, well then, the devil has the victory, and that victory is our spiritual and our eternal death in body and in soul. Enemies, mortal enemies, aim at our death. So we pray in the sixth petition, Lord God, do not let these enemies have their way with us. Do not permit us in our own strength to stand against these enemies, because we could not stand against them for a moment. The German of the catechism there is an eye blink. We could not stand an eye blink against any of these enemies. We are dependent upon God and the grace of God. Our holiness, the holiness of our children, the holiness of the church depends upon the grace of God. The man who prays the sixth petition recognizes that. And the man who prays the sixth petition prays earnestly that God will deliver him out of temptation and from evil and preserve him in holiness, until finally he has the victory over sin in the day of his death. That is what we are praying for in the sixth petition. I call your attention this morning to our prayer for deliverance from evil. We'll split up the petition, considering the second part of the petition first. Next week, the whole matter of temptation. Our prayer for deliverance from evil. For what we are asking, how God ordinarily accomplishes this deliverance, and finally, how God ultimately promises our deliverance. It is noteworthy that Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, did not teach his disciples to pray for deliverance from all of those things that are earthly troubles and earthly struggles merely. He did not teach us to pray for no more sickness, no more poverty, no more financial setbacks, no more earthly losses or disappointments or sorrows. Nothing of that sort. But instead, he teaches us to pray to God for deliverance from our real distress, our real misery, the problem behind all of our other problems, and that is our sin problem, the power of sin in our lives. Together, the fifth petition that we have already considered and this sixth petition concern our deliverance from sin. The fifth petition concerns especially our deliverance from the guilt of sin. The guilt of our sin before a just and holy God. This petition concerns our deliverance from the power of sin. The power of sin at work within us. The dominating power of sin. So that we are made slaves to sin and to Satan. Together, the fifth and the sixth petitions concern the two great aspects of our salvation, our justification and our sanctification. In the fifth petition, our prayer to God concerns our justification, the forgiveness of our sins, and the imputation to us of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in their stead. Whereas in the sixth petition, the Lord Jesus addresses our sanctification, our deliverance from sin's power. Jesus uses that word in his high priestly prayer. He says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Make them holy. That's to sanctify. And again in verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctification, deliverance from evil, from the power of sin. Put positively, our concern in the sixth petition is with holiness. Holiness as the work of God within us. Holiness, which is God breaking in us the power of sin. God delivering us from the snare of sin and Satan. That's his work of grace too. His work of grace does not only consist in the forgiveness of our sins, but the work of God's grace includes our deliverance from the power of sin, from Satan's dominion over us. For the work of God's grace, he cleanses us from the defilement of sin. In the work of his grace, he accomplishes obedience in us. In the work of his grace, he makes us desire the things of God and actually do that which pleases God. That's what we're praying for in the sixth petition. Apart from this petition, we are slaves to sin. We can only sin. We can do nothing but sin. Apart from God's answer to this sixth petition, sin dominates all of our life, and there's no escape from the power of sin. In answer to this petition, God works in us, freeing our wills, enabling our desires, causing us to want to and actually to do that which is pleasing in His sight. God, He's the one we're asking to do this. We cannot do this ourselves. No mere man can deliver from the power of sin. No mere man can deliver from the snare of the devil, the dreadfulness of sin. Reminds us that deliverance from sin can only be found in God and in the grace of God. For the dreadfulness of sin is that it leads to the grave, to death. What human power can deliver from death? The dreadfulness of sin is that it leads to hell. What human power can deliver from hell? The evil of sin is that it separates man from God. The evil of sin is that it separates man from man. The evil of sin is that it destroys the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and their children, between brother and sister in the church. What an awful power sin is. Who of us is able to overcome such a damaging power as the power and the effects of sin? What we must be impressed with this morning, what all of us must be impressed with, what the young people must be impressed with, is that there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no fulfillment in a life of sin. That's the damnable lie of the devil. And the devil's propaganda ministry, television, and internet promote this damnable lie. Every evil empire in history has had its propaganda ministry. Hitler had his. Joseph Goebbels was his propaganda minister. Tell a big lie often enough, over and over again, and people will believe even a big lie. So said Goebbels. But that wasn't original with him, because that's always been the case. Tell sinners that they can overcome the power of sin in their own strength, Tell sinners that they can actually overcome the devil and the slavery of the devil by your own free will. Tell sinners that they are able to break the power of sin whenever they choose to do so. Whether it's fornication or drugs or alcohol, whatever. You have it in your own power whenever you wish to set these sins aside. That's the big lie. And it's not true. You can't. And I can't. There's only one power that can break the awful power of sin. And that's the power of God and the grace of God. And that's what we're praying for in the sixth petition. In the sixth petition, we're asking God. We're petitioning God. We're imploring, beseeching God that He will break in us and in our children the awful power of sin. Not education can do it. Not science and scientific breakthrough. Not mere reformation of habits. Not only the influence of the example of others. That's not underestimating the power of good friendships, but not all by themselves. Not a change of environment, not evolutionary development. There's only one power able to break the power of sin, the grace of God. That's why we direct our prayer in this sixth petition to God, imploring God for deliverance from the power of evil. This is a work of God within us. A work of God that takes place within the Christian. It is the work of holiness. God does not perform this work of making His children holy in such a way that He takes them out of the world, isolates them from the world, so that that mortal enemy, as it's fueled by the devil working in and through the world, no longer has any contact with us. We live in a cave somewhere or in our own isolated community. Not that. That is not God's will for His people. John 17, verse 15. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil of the world. And again, in verse 18, as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the wicked world. That's God's will. We're not praying in the sixth petition that God will in some way separate us physically from the world so that contact with the world will at the very least be minimized as we live in our own little tight-knit community. God wills that we live in the world as a witness to the world. And God wills that we live in the world because it's God's will that it become abundantly clear that the only power that is able to break the power of sin in us is His power the power of His grace that must live in our consciousness, and that must be seen before the eyes of the wicked world in which God accomplishes this amazing work of His grace. The child of God prays for holiness because he knows that this is God's will. As God Himself is holy, so does He will that His people, those who bear His name, who live in His house, in friendship with Him, are also a holy people. We are to pray according to the will of God, and this is clearly God's will, as is plain from what the apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, and then especially that you should abstain from fornication. Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, to evil, to filth, but unto holiness. Because He knows that this is God's will. Jesus prays in John 17, verse 15, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That God's will is that we be holy, and that this is God's will for every one of us, not just for the super saints, but for all of us, is plain from what the apostle says in Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. That's God's will. It's striking how frequently in John 17, Jesus refers to election. There's a familiar phrase that occurs repeatedly throughout the chapter. The first time in verse 2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Those who have been given to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. And again, in 9, in 11, and in 12, our election stands behind our holiness. And it stands behind our holiness, especially from this point of view, that when God chose us in eternity and willed us to be His people, He willed that we should be a holy people. Election and holiness cannot be separated. And then this was the purpose of the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Why did He send Jesus Christ into the world? To the cross, to suffer and to die for us, only so that the guilt of our sins would be removed? Certainly that, but also, and on that basis, that the power of sin in His people would be broken once and for all. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, his death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As Jesus Christ died for the sake of our holiness, so is this the outstanding work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That holiness is God's will for us is plain from the fact that God himself is a holy God. Jesus addresses God that way in his high priestly prayer. Not just Father, holy Father. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That holiness is God's will for us comes out in the New Testament's most common name for the people of God. What is it, catechism students? You know this. Those of you who've taken essentials, you know this. What is the most common name for the people of God in the New Testament scriptures? That's right. It's saints. Saints. Holy ones. Those so distinguished from the children of this world because they have the power of sin broken in them. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Although we pray to God for holiness, God works and God preserves holiness in his people through certain means. Always a God of means. So our prayer in the sixth petition encompasses the means by which God is pleased to work and preserve holiness in his people. Well, how hypocritical would it be if we beseech God earnestly for holiness, deliverance from the power of evil, and then neglect the means that God has established for that holiness? We must recognize and we must avail ourselves of the means that God has established for our holiness. First, God accomplishes this work of his grace by faith, as all his works. He does not make us holy through some second work of grace. He doesn't make us holy through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make us holy by our own strength, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. He does not sanctify us by works, or partly by works and partly by faith, but he sanctifies us through faith. We are not only justified by faith, but we are also sanctified by faith. As the apostle teaches in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes, he's talking about the purpose for which God has called him to be an apostle, to open the Gentiles' eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Justified and sanctified by faith that is in me. God works and God preserves holiness in us through His Word, the preaching and teaching of the gospel. He's doing that right now. He's doing that this morning. As you sit under the preaching of His Word, He's breaking in you the power of sin more and more. And He's preserving you against evil and temptation. This is Jesus' teaching in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're sanctified through the word of truth. And verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. To neglect the truth of the Word of God, to disdain the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the sacraments in the church that support the truth of the gospel, is to thumb your nose at holiness. There is no holiness, no work of God for holiness in your life or in mine, in contempt for His church, in contempt for the means of grace. God uses the word, the preaching and teaching of His word, in order to work holiness in us. The devil knows that. That's why Martin Luther said, the devil is the most faithful churchgoer. He's always in church. The devil goes to church twice every Sunday. Some Christians, professing Christians, don't, but he does. And he's there. He's there because he knows that God's people are sanctified by the preaching of the gospel, the word of truth. He's in church doing whatever he can to distract them so that they don't receive the truth. He's doing everything that he can to prevent them from being blessed under the preaching of the word of God. Jesus taught this in the first parable that he ever told, the parable of the sower. This is the seed that fell on the hard-packed wayside. That seed is the word of the gospel. And when it falls on the hard-packed wayside, the path that everybody's tromping on, it can't take root. What happens? The birds come along and eat the seed. Jesus explains that as, and that wicked one comes, and the seed takes no root. The wicked one comes. Third, God sanctifies His people by His word in church. In church. This is where the word is preached. This is where the sacraments are administered. This is where the Holy Spirit is pleased to work holiness in His people. Not in nature, which some like to believe is a better church and a more beautiful church than this is. That's not church. It's in the congregation of the gathered saints worshiping publicly that God is pleased to work holiness. They who turn away from the church and turn everywhere else but to the church for deliverance from the awful power of sin. We'll never find that deliverance which alone can be found in the congregation, in the church. There, God is pleased to work holiness in us and our children. There, He's pleased to cultivate that holiness so that there's increase and development of that holiness all our life long. That's where Christ is present. That's where the Holy Spirit is present. That's where we had better go then. Not only for the pardon of our sins and forgiveness, but for the sanctifying work of God's grace. That makes church membership of vital importance. That means that every one of you, you young people, must take utterly seriously your calling from God to be a member of a true church of Jesus Christ, such as Hudsonville Protestant Reformed Church is. You want holiness? Do you desire holiness for yourself? Do you desire it for your children and grandchildren? Go to church. Go to church faithfully. Hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And pray. That's what Jesus is doing in John 17. He's praying. It's His high priestly prayer. That's what we're studying. The sixth petition is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. We must pray. God is pleased to sanctify us and to preserve us in holiness through prayer. Daily prayer. Personal prayer. Family prayer, urgent prayers to God. He hears those prayers and He answers them, and He promises ultimate deliverance from the power of evil. He hears and answers the prayers of His people in the sixth petition already now, not by making us perfectly holy, but by breaking in us the enslaving power of sin, so that we desire to do that which is good, and we do that which is good. Not perfectly, not always, but there's a beginning. And that beginning is the work of His grace. It's our sanctification. God hears and God answers us when we pray the sixth petition from our hearts, sincerely, not just utter the words. If we're not praying this petition sincerely, but insincerely and hypocritically, well, of course, then there's no reason to believe that God's going to answer your prayer and break the power of sin in your life. We must pray this petition, as all the other petitions, sincerely, from the heart, fervently, continually. Then we may be sure that God will hear and answer us. He'll answer us by working holiness in us and working holiness in our children. You can see that, can't you, parents? You can see that in your littlest children. Their interest in the things of God. Their desire for the things that please God and their parents. And especially when they sin. And you rebuke them for their sin. Confront them for their sin. They're sorry. And that in their lives and in our lives is the outstanding evidence that the power of sin is broken in us. We're sorry. We repent of our sins. But the ultimate deliverance for us is not in this life, but it's after death, and it's in the life to come. That's what death is for the child of God. It's deliverance. Then God answers our prayer in the sixth petition.